just have not been able to get away from it. And I thought maybe the Lord would let me preach out of Psalm 23 this morning. That's what I'm teaching Sunday school out of. But I just kept going back to this, and the Lord just kept bringing it back to me. And I even said in that message Wednesday night that maybe this is something that needs to be said on a Sunday morning. So here we go. Amen. Look with me in verse number 9, Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as I preach this morning, that you would recall to my memory what I've studied. And Lord, you would allow me to preach in your power and in your ability. I pray, God, that as your people sit here to listen, God, that you would help them, that you would give them something from your word, something that I cannot provide, not just my voice, something that your Holy Spirit must provide. Father, I pray that you'd forgive me, Lord, of my many sins, my many shortcomings, where I have failed you, where I've sinned against you. Lord, let me be pure and holy before you as I expound your word this morning. Give me the right words to say in the right spirit, Lord. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. I have heard that you guys have heard about love already this morning, and I like that. Amen. And I want to go back to talking about that topic of love. You know, Paul talked about having love, and he said, though I speak with the voice of angels and I have not love, I'm just a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. You can have the greatest orator, the greatest pulpiteer stand in your pulpit, and if there's not love in his heart when he stands, it's pointless.
Amen.
We can have the greatest Christian and the most bold witness ever walk out and get in front of crowds and boldly proclaim the truth of Christ, and if there's not love in it, y'all right?
Yeah.
It'll fall on some mighty deaf ears.
Yeah.
I don't care how bold and how great and how much you tell the truth. If you're not willing to love somebody in the condition that they're in, I don't care how much truth you bring to them. There's a lot of people can be mean and be honest with somebody. So you come down off your high horse this morning with me. Let's humble ourselves before people and love them where they're at. And so let's just jump right into it. That brings me to my first line there in verse number 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. See, our problem that we have is that we think we know what every one of those words mean. But I'd be willing to bet that not many of you in this building have studied the word dissimulate before, or dissimulation. You know what that word means? It means to operate under a false pretense. Don't let your love be fake. Amen? We got enough things that are fake in this world. Brother David talked about it a little while ago, about the grass being greener on the other side and how that everything looks a whole lot better. And we have an entire generation that has tried to rebrand the word love and to make the word love into something that it is not. But the Bible calls you and I, Christians, to love without the hidden pretense or without a false appearance. It should not be that we love our Christian brothers and sisters only while we're at church on Sunday morning. It should not be that we love our Christian brothers and sisters when they're having the high time of their life and everything's well and everything's going great and everything's going good and they don't have any problems. We need some people that are getting in the trenches with somebody. Amen. We need some people. We need some Christians that'll love some folks that's suffering from addiction. Amen. We need some Christians that'll go out and find a drunkard that ain't worth anything and love them till they come to Jesus. Amen. I'm sick to death of these Christians that think that everybody knows what Christianity is and how you ought to act and how you ought to live and how you ought to do. You won't disciple nobody, won't tell nobody about the love of Jesus, but they ought to just know how to work, how to act, how to treat people. The world doesn't know anything about the love of God. It needs Christians to love without dissimulation. The days of fake love is over with. They're gone. The days of just pretending that we love the world is over with. You know what love will do? Love will sacrifice. Love will make a sacrifice. Love will sacrifice your time for a little while. You can't fake a sacrifice. You either really sacrifice or you don't. Amen? Love will make sure that it is evident. It's not going to hide somewhere or be in the back scene somewhere. It's going to be prominent. Amen. When you love somebody and when you care about them, listen to me. The Bible teaches us Christians to love without dissimulation. And the reason that we don't love without dissimulation is because we don't do that next line, abhor that which is evil. We invite that which is evil in. I know. I'm not just talking about the stuff that we view, the things that we look at on social media, the things we look on television. I'm not just talking about that kind of evil. I'm talking about the thoughts that come into our mind and we entertain those things. We have those thoughts come into our mind, whatever wicked thought it may be, and we allow that to enter into our mind and we entertain it for a little while and we allow the devil to control. We talked about this in Sunday school, but we don't abhor that which is evil. To abhor means to disgust extremely. That means that we look at something with utter disgust, and our problem is that we grab that pet little sin that we have and we just pet it and we stroke it and we're okay with it, we love it, and well, it ain't hurting nobody, it ain't bothering nobody, don't nobody know what's going on in my life. I can just have this and I can just keep it a secret and won't nobody know. I want you to know that God knows what's going on in your life. God sees the times that you think that he doesn't see, and as long as you're not abhorring the evil of the wicked one, you're loving with dissimulation. You're loving under a false pretense. You got fake love. We got a generation right now that's looking for truth. Yes, sir. So don't wonder why that pews are empty when we won't carry the truth to a lost and dying world. I'm getting fed up. Maybe this is Brother Josh airing his grievances this morning. I hope not. But I'm getting fed up with this crowd that says, well, people just don't want to look for and don't want to listen to truth. Here's what I have found going out soul winning, telling people about the Lord. If I am direct and tell them what the Word of God says, they have a love and respect for me, and they want to hear more of what I have to say. Yes, sir. It ain't that the people don't want truth. It's that the Christians aren't abhorring evil, and so they love a lie more than they love the truth of God's Word. And we see churches being empty. You okay? And to justify our sin, we say, well, people just don't want to hear it no more. Friend of mine, God gave us the truth. Did you know that it was truth that got your heart conditioned for the Lord to move into your life? You heard the truth of the Word of God. You heard someone preach the truth. You heard someone tell you the truth. You heard someone tell you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your heart was softened, and then the Lord miraculously, wondrously saved your precious soul from a devil's hell and saved your soul from many other things. There's too many to list, but it's all because somebody loved you without dissimulating. They loved you without having a false pretense. Without being fictitious in their love, they just loved you where you were. You got to abhor that evil. I guess I'm getting a little off subject. Maybe not. Y'all okay? Cleave to that which is good. I believe I've made that abundantly clear. But I want to look at this love that shouldn't be dissimulated. And that love is what God's love toward man. And that love is named. It's actually named in the Greek. It's called agape love. And it means goodwill or benevolence toward people. Or God's love toward us, or Christians' love toward people. Here is a problem that we have within the church. This is a problem we have within the church. I'm not preaching for revival for people outside the church. I'd love to see souls get saved, but until the church gets right, people outside the church aren't going to get right. And so we have this issue within us that this verse number 10 tells us to be kindly affectioned. And man, I wouldn't want to go to a church where people was mean. I ain't going to listen to a preacher that the first time I meet him, he's mean to me. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
The words kindly affectioned under this agape love that the Lord has for us is our love one for another. It should be real. It should be sincere. The way that God loves us, He loved us where we were, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, is what Romans 5 tells us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. You think about all the nasty, dirty, ungodly mess that is in the world. And the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son for that old rotten, nasty, good-for-nothing world that we know is out there. Amen? He gave His Son. I have two boys. I wouldn't give either one of them for the world. Amen? I don't want to sacrifice them for the Lord. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's out there that needs the gospel is exactly what God delivered you out of. What He brought you from. And so He tells us to be to each other and to the world to be kindly affectioned. Now, the word kindly affection means not only to love, but to have a readiness to love. Have a readiness to have that goodwill, that benevolence, that not only toward each other, but toward the world. And I'll tell you this, if we've got a bunch of Christians that's arguing amongst themselves about different and various items, friend of mine, it's not going to take long for somebody to pick up on that. If you can't get along with Brother So-and-so sitting on the left side of the church and Brother So-and-so sitting on the right side of the church and they got division, guess what's going to happen in the church? There's going to be a great big old split right down the middle of that thing, amen? All because somebody is loving with a dissimulation in their heart, not abhorring evil, and not willing to be kindly affectioned to somebody else that's sitting across the room.
All right, you're up.
Breaks my heart in pieces when I look at somebody and we're talking about somebody in our church, and somebody looks at me and says, now who is that? Let's let some rubber meet some road. Is this your church?
Amen. Come on, brother.
Is this your church? It ain't just my job to know who everybody is in the church.
Go ahead,
it's just much your job. Amen?
We got Sunday, if a Sunday school teacher don't know somebody, they ought to go introduce themselves. We got our pastoral staff, guys, you don't know somebody, it's your job to go introduce yourself. It's not their job to come to you. We got our musicians, and somebody comes up to you, compliments you on how you're playing, how you're doing. It's not your job, it's not their job to introduce themselves, it's your job. You're the one of prominence, you're the one up here in front of everybody, it's up to you. I don't know who they are. They sit on the other side of the church. We got babies over here. Got a baby right here. There's some of you in here don't even know these little babies' mama's names.
Bless your heart, brother. Amen. It's good preaching.
Well, preacher, my brain's just not geared that way. Well, it ought to be, because you ought to be kindly affectionate one to another.
Amen.
You ought to be. You care about somebody? You say you care about somebody? Well, I care about them when I'm here on Sunday morning. That's the problem. That's loving with dissimulation.
Right.
Under a false pretense. I love them because they're at the church, not because they're a human being that needs me to love them.
Good preaching.
Be kindly affectioned one to another. It's up to you and I to make sure that we show someone and we tell someone about the Lord, and that we show and demonstrate the love of God to someone. We are kindly affectionate to them. And so in this Greek word agape, where we have the goodwill and the benevolence, there is the way of love that I guess it is here, is the affectionate love that I preached to you for these couple of minutes, this affectionate love that God has placed inside your heart. And surely the Bible tells us, if we have not love for the brethren, how do they know that the truth is in us? We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes, but in verse number 10, we don't only see the affectionate love, but when we see something that's pretty interesting, he talks about brotherly love. Now, if you go back and you study out that, the brotherly love is exactly the city that we know, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. That's the word for that, Philadelphia. It is a Greek word that means the love between brothers. Amen. And that, if I could just, you're welcome to go study it out. You could probably learn a whole lot more than me. There's some people in here that are much smarter, much more intelligent than me. And I'm absolutely confident that you could learn a lot from the Word of God if you took time to study it. But when you read about those two words, brotherly love, it is exactly how it sounds. It is the love between family members, or what should be between family members. He said that we ought to be kindly affectioned, or ready to love those who are around us. So not only that affectionate love, but then a respectful love. Watch what he says, this brotherly love. My brother's sitting right over there. He and I have a brotherly love. We have a mutual respect for one another, and we have a mutual care for one another. Amen. And I'm gonna be transparent here. There are many of you in this room that I feel the exact same way about you men that I do about my brother sitting right over there. I can't help it. It's the way that God geared my heart. So you don't have to love me, but I love you. You don't have to care about me, but I care about you. And he says, in brotherly love, be kindly affection, and this respectful love, watch this, in honor, preferring one another. So, if I am doing something to honor someone else, you ever been in a restaurant or a grocery store? My daddy loves buffets. I don't care nothing about a buffet. They all right, same amount of money. I can go to a restaurant and somebody bring me my food. I don't have to get up and go get my food. If you like buffets, kudos to you. Good for you. I'm glad you like buffets. They're just not my thing. But you ever been in one of them and somebody comes up and you both see the chocolate pie sitting there? And you both want chocolate pie, but there's only one scoop left. And you got a decision. You can divide that, or you can get in there first and get that last scoop and take off. Or you can say no. You take it. How about you down at job, and you're working with somebody, and you both come up for a promotion. You're both working hard. and there's a brother or sister in Christ, and they get considered for the position, and they get the position. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Right.
And we say something along the lines of, well, I deserved it more. It's very hard to say, no, that's not where God wanted me right now. Giving somebody else honor and preferring somebody else above yourself takes humility.
Yes,
I get humbled a lot of times. Because see, in my mind, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread when it comes to preaching. The other night, Brother Brian preached for us. Man, he'd done a great job. We're riding home. And my daughter, my own daughter, Brother David, said, boy, he sure did preach a good message. Now, I know that old jealousy monster don't rise up in y'all, but it rose up in me a little bit. And me and the Lord had to have a conversation. He had to remind me, maybe you ain't the best thing since sliced bread, boy. Amen. Maybe there's some working on you that I got to do. Amen. God will use little things like that to splinter in the family of God and in your own home. In honor, preferring one another. Man, this is helping me this morning. I hope it's helping you as much as it is. There's a respectful love of honor, preferring one another. There's a respectful love of, and we I alluded to this just a minute ago, but not slothful in business. Man, one of the greatest ways that you can show respect for the other people of God or for the house of God or for where you go to church is for you not to be a diligent worker. For you to be a hard worker. When you go to work and you're walking around work and man you tell somebody, hey, I go to Gateway Baptist Church and my pastor's Brother Josh Hagan, we love our church, we're so glad, but then you're lazy when you get to work. You don't want to do what you're supposed to do. That's a problem, and it's a testimony matter. It's a disrespect to the people that we work for, to the church that we attend. When we are slothful in our business, then having a fervent spirit tells us to be fervent in spirit, to be passionate about what we do, to serve the Lord with fervency. Dear friend of mine, the Bible tells us that whatsoever our hand finds to do it as unto the Lord and not unto men.
Amen.
To the Lord. That's in Colossians 3:17 and verse number 23. You can find that. Verse number 12 goes on to say that we as Christians should rejoice in hope. I was thinking about that song while we were singing a little while ago, Rejoice. And man, the only thing that we really have to rejoice in is that our name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the one place in Scripture where you'll find Jesus said to rejoice about. Everything else we have added to. That's our great rejoicing. There are some people that we know that they were saved when they passed away, and thank God we can rejoice in the hope. But then there are some people that we're not sure about, and we don't know where their eternal destiny is, and we produce a false hope. One of the things I've preached, I don't know, I guess about 100 funerals in my time as a pastor and as a lay preacher, and one of the most hard funerals to preach is to try and give someone hope when the life of the person laying in front of you gave them no hope. I think I've struck a chord right here. It's interesting to me that everybody's heaven bound, although they never professed Jesus as their Savior. They never trusted Christ.
Come on.
But somehow or another, they're in heaven. That is a dangerous attitude. And here's what happens. We misconstrue truth. And we go outside of truth to comfort someone. Loving with dissimulation. My goodness, This rejoicing in hope is for people who have trusted Christ, who have put their faith and trust in Christ. Not just for people who, well, they've done a little bit of good, but they live like the world. Okay, that's probably going to get me in trouble. Let me address this while we're here. When somebody dies, they don't get angel wings.
Amen.
That's as biblically inaccurate as you can get.
You're right. That's good.
You won't find a single Christian that graduates to an angel in the Word of God. It is not there. Angels are created beings that were created for the purpose of glorifying God and carrying His message. You don't graduate to an angel or an angelic being.
Amen.
I know that doesn't sit well with your doctrine that you've created in your mind, but it is not biblical doctrine. It is a false hope. I would much rather rejoice in hope in Christ than to try and justify what tickles my ears. It makes me feel good. It's not easy to preach, but it's needed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Rejoicing in hope. Watch this one. Patient in tribulation. We're still talking about a respectful love. Patient in tribulation. I work on this. I deal with this a lot. Especially at restaurants. I find myself, the older I get, the less I remember my days of waiting tables, and the more frustrated I get at restaurants. And I sit there and I get frustrated, and man, if my table's not addressed or something like that in a certain amount of time, it's a timeline I create in my mind now. Now that poor old waitress, she don't know, he don't know, that waiter, that I've created a timeline in my mind when my food needs to be out to me. Y'all okay? Don't sit there like y'all don't do it. And I've got an idea of how everything's going to taste, how it's going to look when it comes out there, and if it doesn't meet my expectations, boy, I'm really suffering. And that is a light tribulation. Now, think about that. That's a small tribulation. That we get irritated with, but you let a real trial, a real tribulation come along in our life, a real storm blow through our life. You ever seen one of these Christians and you ask them, hey, how you doing? And man, they say, I'm good, but, and they're fixing to drop a dump load. I'm talking about a tandem load on you. Because they're not patient in tribulation. You all right? They're fishing to rear back and unload everything that they've got that they've been dealing with in that week on you, and they're going to dump it on you. Or, I remember one time standing right back there, and we had a tribulation going on that I did not know about. And I was at the center of the tribulation that I did not know about. Time out. If you have tribulation with a pastor, with your pastor, I would hope that you would give me the respect that I would give you, and you will come to me and talk with me about that privately. Amen? So that we can get that thing worked out.
Bless your heart.
Time in. Somebody walked into church. I was at the center of a conflict I had no idea about. Time out. You look around this room. Everybody in this room has problems and difficulties that they deal with. I have one mind. I feel like I need to say this. I have one mind. There's a chance that I might get so-and-so's problem over here mixed up with so-and-so's problem over here in my mind. I remember one time I had a dear brother. I was praying for him for surgery for November 20th. I texted him on the 19th, said, praying for you for your surgery. He sent me back one word, December 20th, not November 20th. and then was upset. Y'all think I'm kidding? You think I'm joking? Be a pastor for a little while. Then was upset that I got the dates wrong. Look around in this room. I'm not asking you to tiptoe around me. I'm asking you to give me the same grace that you expect to receive when you come to me. I'm expecting you to say, well, you know what? Pastor's got a lot going on. I think I'll give him a little bit of a break. Amen. You miss a Sunday, you miss a couple Sundays, I'm not going to run you down. And here's why. Maybe you got something going on that's hindered you from being in the house of God. You ain't mad at nobody, you ain't hurt, but you just hindered from being here. I'm going to give you grace for about 3 weeks. Here's the problem. Sometimes 3 weeks is too much. We still in the timeout. I've been chewed out in the back of churches. I've been chewed out behind the pulpit. I've been chewed, okay? I've been chewed out in front of God and everybody in funeral homes for something I didn't know nothing about. Give a little bit of grace. Patient in tribulation. Not everybody knows what you're going through. Not everybody faces, well, I ain't talked to the preacher in 6 weeks, but he ought to know what's going on in my life. You and 140 other people sitting in the room with you. Patient in tribulation. It's sad that the great tribulation of a lot of Christian lives is that the preacher don't acknowledge them on Sunday morning. It's sad that a great tribulation in the church is that things don't go the way that we think they should go in our mind. Remember that scenario I created at the restaurant? Well, you do it here when you come here too. All right, here we go. Patient in tribulation. Let's be time in. Let's be patient in the tribulation of the world. We don't want to run up to someone that has a trouble or a trial going on and look at them and say, man, I can't believe that you done laid out of church. They're sick as a dog. They got all kinds of, I can't believe you done laid out of church. You just being lazy. You want to hurt somebody? Just start assuming that you know what's going on in their life. Patient in tribulation. Patient with those around you. Patient for people who don't know. Did you know that there are people that are non-Christians that don't know what a church is supposed to look like? Yep. Somebody comes in our church on Sunday morning, they got a ball cap on, let them wear the ball cap.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you dare get up and go tell them what's proper etiquette, thinking you're doing the Lord's work. They're liable to never come back to church.
Bless your heart. Good.
The goal is not to get people to dress a certain way. It's to get them to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Am I a patient in tribulation? My Bible done flipped the page on me. There we go. Continuing instant in prayer. Here's a respectful way to love people. Pray for them. Pray for them. I'm not talking about look at them and say, I'm praying for you.
Right. You'll pass that. Yeah.
I'm talking about when you bow the knee or when you bow your head, you call their name literally out to the Lord.
Yep.
You say, Lord, help this person. There's people that I can't help. I can't get to them. I can't do anything with them. I can't do it. My abilities are limited. My mind is limited, but God is not. And so I can call your name out in prayer, and I can ask the Lord to help you. And I find that it's a whole lot easier to preach like what I'm doing right now when I look around the room and I think, I prayed for all these people this week. I called their name out to the Lord. God's allowing me the opportunity to preach and to preach to people that stand in need of something that I have no idea how to fix or when to fix it, but I know that I can pray because I can be instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse number 13, we've talked about the affectionate love that's under this agape love. We're talking about that respectful love in verses, latter part of verse number 10, 11, and verse number 12. And now verse number 13, there is a giving love. A giving love. My goodness, y'all didn't tell me it was 12, 15 already. Patience, patience. Hallelujah. That's good, Ben. God bless you, brother. Watch this, verse number 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. There is a giving love in this agape love. Looking after those of the faith. James 2, verses 15 and 16 says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What good is it to see somebody in the need and not meet that need? We got a food pantry slap full of food. If somebody comes to the church and says, we need groceries, man, we better be loading up their wagon.
Bless your heart.
Freely you've received, freely give. Sometimes people need financial help in the church.
You're right.
It ought to be that the church gives them financial help.
Right.
I don't think we ought to be frivolous with it. I don't think we ought to just have given out money like candy. I believe people ought to work. I'm not against people working, but I will tell you this. If somebody that's paid the bill, and then they come and they got a medical emergency, they got no way to meet a need, and right. Dear friend of mine, church, meet the need.
Amen.
People fall on hard times. Adversities come. People need financial help. Good people that make wise financial decisions get themselves in financial predicaments, and they need help, and the church can help them.
Amen.
It ain't popular, but it'll preach.
Yes, sir.
Distributing to the necessity of the saints. 1 John 3:17-19, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say that you've got the love of God in you, but you won't meet a need of someone that has a need? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before Him. Talking about the Lord. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Most of the time, you Christian brothers, they're not going to ask for any help. Well, God will provide. Yeah, and He's liable to use the church to do that. One commentator said, I want to read this quote to you. He said, we must be ready as we have the ability and opportunity to relieve any that are in want. But we are in a special manner bound to communicate to the saints. There is a common love owing to our fellow creatures, fellow man, but a special love owing to our fellow Christians, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We ought to be with a giving love. I got one more phrase, and I won't continue through all of this. I'll try not to continue through all this. The Bible says, given to hospitality. The phrase that is used for given to hospitality doesn't just mean that we love people when it's convenient. It means that we pursue an opportunity to love people. We pursue an opportunity to distribute to the necessity of the saints. We look for a reason to help people. Not just the convenient time when it's easy. I said this Wednesday night, usually every Christmas time, one or two families will come to me and say, "Brother, if you know somebody that is without Christmas money or without the ability to provide for their children, if you would, just let me know and we'll take care of it." And we've been able to connect some families, praise the Lord, and some needs be met there, and I thank God for that. But it's not just at Christmas time when that need is necessary.
Amen.
Sometimes there's a need in June. Sometimes there's a need in October. Sometimes there's a need on Sunday morning that arises before anybody gets here. Sometimes there's a need on Sunday night that they found out on Sunday afternoon. We don't know the need. We just know that we ought to be looking for the opportunity to meet that need. Given to hospitality, pursue that. Watch this. Here's how you do that. Verse number 15 says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that do weep." If you're not with somebody in their rejoicing, they're probably not going to let you be there when they're weeping. Be of the same mind one toward another. I won't hit on this too hard. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I said this Wednesday night. I'd like to say it again. I have very little idea of the financial situation of Gateway Baptist Church. I don't know who gives what. I don't care who gives what. I would rather stand here in this pulpit unbiased than to worry about whether or not I'm going to offend a big donor. If I want to know what kind of financial situation that we're in, I'll just call Brother Canaan or Miss Natalie and I say, "Hey, how are we looking on a checkbook?" And they tell me what I need to know. I don't ask any questions. Brother Canaan, have I ever called you and asked you who gave what? 9 years, not one time. And I won't. I would rather stand here in this pulpit and be able to preach unbiased the Word of God than to be hindered by money. I need to be able to be of the same mind one toward another. One guy owns a business. One guy's a pauper. So what? They both need the Word of God.
Amen.
One lady is good at artistic ability. Another lady cooks really well. So what? They both need the Word of God. They both have unique gifts that God can use. It's up to me to preach to them the Word of God. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. When there is a society in the church, it's a dangerous place to be. It needs to be that the Word of God goes out and it encompasses the people that have nothing, the men of low estate, and it encompasses the people that have everything, the people of great estate. It doesn't matter. We need to give the Word of God unbiasedly to people who are lost and dying and in need. Then when I go out into the world, man, it shouldn't matter whether or not somebody looks good if I give them a gospel track or not.
Right.
Amen. I was at that parade yesterday. Thank God for them churches that were in the parade. Man, they were walking down there. There's one man preaching. Thank God for him. They was walking down through there. He was handing out gospel tracts. Indiscriminately. I mean, as fast as you could go, gospel tracts. And I thought, hell, I got under conviction standing there. I'm like, here I am. There's people right next to me that obviously needed the Lord. And instead of being patient and kind and loving them people and talking to them, I sneered at them. Y'all don't throw nothing at me. Just being honest. I got upset with how they were acting. Instead of putting that gospel tract in their hand, or instead of saying, "Hey, why don't you come visit me at Gateway Baptist Church?" I'm guilty. But I thank God there's forgiveness. I thank God that there's the ability to serve the Lord. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Lord, I believe that I preached what you laid on my heart both Wednesday and today. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. God, your people sat so patiently and so kindly, and they've listened to me. God, I pray that you would take something from your word and you would educate their hearts. You would grow our church. You would strengthen us. Lord, not me, not my words, but your word be magnified. God, I pray that as this invitation time happens, Lord, these altars, they're open. People will come and do business with you. Father, help me to help your people in the way that you'd have me to. I ask this in Jesus' name.